Tuesday, March 4th. Welcome to the CBSSports.com Fantasy Football Podcast. We're brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com/CBSSports and use the offer code FUN. Adam Azer, Jamie Eisenberg, and Dave Richard. And we're talking about Jamie's sleepers for next year, Dave's trip to Las Vegas, your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Please put football podcast in the subject line and tweets. Hey, what's up?
You are all kinds of peppy today.
I'm trying.
Someone had a date last night, didn't he?
No. I started watching Game of Thrones last night, Dave. I enjoyed it very
good
much.
Good for you.
You watch it?
Hell yeah.
Yeah,
one of those
two and a half
solo
episodes
dates.
In.
Do you like it?
Yeah, so far so good.
Any preconceived expectations beforehand?
Well, everybody told me it's so super complicated, but so far, I mean, there's a lot going on, yeah. But I get it all,
yeah.
So that's good. I did a lot of rewinding, but I get it all.
Cool.
Okay, trying to finish
still,
it by the end of
March.
I'm so
mad at you that you don't know the Sopranos, though.
Yeah, I know, it's bad. We got news and notes to get to. We'll talk about Peyton Manning. I don't know much to talk about.
Have you given
about
up on the Knicks yet?
I still watch them. Actually, I was watching Game of Thrones on the laptop. I had the Knicks on the TV. Ugh. So I've given up giving my full attention to them.
Even their players are giving up.
They're so bad.
I won money on them.
How'd you do that?
Well, I bet on the other team.
Oh,
played.
Good job. The
who
Bulls?
They play?
The Bulls.
Yeah, that was a layup.
I'm starting to get back into basketball a little bit now, with the way the Bulls have been playing.
You got to admire them, Dave.
I'm a bandwagon fan. It was a great time.
They had a bad loss last night.
Yeah, they did have a bad loss last night. But, you know, once Derrick Rose went down, I pretty much went, like, shut off NBA mode, had no interest whatsoever.
So for 2 years now, you haven't watched basketball.
Yeah, exactly. It's really the truth. And now that they're starting to, you know, play well and inspired basketball with a bunch of just, you know, do-good, hard-work guys.
I love Jimmy Butler.
I'm breaking my own stupid rule, by the way. Right now, I'm breaking stupid rule.
I like players who have no emotion, and Jimmy Butler is that guy. Now, how was your trip, Dave?
And then we'll get back to football.
Yeah.
It was good. It was real good. The only thing of note that I'll say here is when I went to greet my friend, I went for a bachelor party, and I went to greet the bachelor while he was playing poker at Caesar's Palace, and I went up to him. And he's like, hey. And the guy next to him goes, hey, it's the fantasy guy.
That's funny.
And for a second, I thought that, like, he knew him. And right. The other guy, not the friend, but the other guy at the poker table, was with our group. Because
right.
I didn't know everybody in our group. And no, it was a total stranger.
Oh, nice.
Who just recognized me and, you know, knew Jamie, knew you, Adam, and big fan of what we do. So it was good to talk a little fantasy football.
So you get attacked in a bank and he gets...
in Vegas? What was the best strip club you went to?
I didn't go to one.
Oh. I was just kidding.
God's honest
sucks.
Truth. Bachelor decided at the last minute he didn't want to go.
All right. Fair enough. Today's news and notes are brought to you by Squarespace.com. And yeah, we're working on AdamAzer.com, courtesy of Squarespace. You're going to laugh if you know all the inside jokes, because Nando's doing it. Peyton Manning cleared for 2014. Still your number one quarterback?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Michael Vick's best fantasy landing spot. Where is it, Jamie?
I think I'd like to see him with Buffalo.
Wait a minute. Peyton isn't my number one quarterback.
Drew Brees is?
Yeah.
How was your vacation, Dave?
I'm still on it, Adam.
You knew when you said yes that I could tell there was a lot of conviction. You knew that that might not be number one.
Yeah. He's number two for me. Brees is number one.
Why?
I just think he's more consistent. I don't think it's likely that Peyton does the exact same thing that he just did, especially if Eric Decker leaves. That's a pretty big piece of the puzzle going away. We'll have to see how the Broncos replace that.
Okay, I could buy it. Do you want to make an argument for Peyton Manning?
No, I mean, they're both great. I just think Peyton's division is easier. His path to success is easier. The defenses in the NFC South are going to get much better.
So Michael Vick, back to him. Best spot. You want him on the what?
I see him in Buffalo. I think he has an opportunity to play well there. Oakland, same thing.
If he goes to Buffalo, he's going to be the backup. They're not going to take the quarterback that they drafted in the first round last year off the field. They've got to play him.
They have a chance to actually be in the playoffs with a better quarterback situation. Not that Vic is the answer, but I think they'll open the competition. I just don't think they're sold on EJ Manuel.
Then why did they draft him?
Well, because you could draft quarterbacks much differently today than you can a few years ago. It's the same thing why the Jets
Geno
Smith.
It still feels like there's a certain expectation. Like
well,
that's
the
why
Vikings stuck with Ponder. They gave him a chance.
They just didn't have anybody better. I'm not saying, again, I'm not saying Vic is better. I don't disagree with Dave's point that they're going to potentially stick with EJ Manuel, but I don't think it's a slam dunk. It's not like EJ Manuel came in last year and showed that he is a franchise future type quarterback. He may be, but he didn't show it last year. And so I think if they feel, because their defense is very good, they need to make some changes. They need to help their offense. They need to help EJ Manuel or whoever the quarterback may be. But I don't think that it's a slam dunk that either of those two teams, Bills or the Jets, stick with the rookies that they drafted last year.
I think they might bring somebody in to compete if that's the route you want to go with it. I don't think Vic comes in.
He's not coming in as the starter right away.
Okay, that's fair. I'll then in that case I'll say fine. Vic comes in and competes, and if you really outplay, like I think he could beat Geno Smith in a competition in New York. I don't know if he'd necessarily be able to do that with Manuel in Buffalo. Two teams I'd like to see Vic end up on, the Vikings, especially now that they're kind of thin at quarterback. And right after the Bengals playoff loss, someone put the thought in my head, what if they signed Michael Vick and they brought him in to compete with Andy Dalton? Because I think Vic's going to be cheap. I don't think he's going to cost any more than like $3 or $4 million for the 2014 season. I think it would be interesting to put Vic in Cincinnati as well.
I mean, if he's a starting quarterback next year, I can't imagine anyone's taking him as a starter.
They're taking him in the exact same spot they took him in this past year. With
second quarterback with high-end
backup. High-end backup.
Yep.
Okay. The Colts are willing to bring back Ahmad Bradshaw, and that could lead to a Bradshaw-Trent Richardson backfield.
What about Donald Brown? He's not involved?
Well, I don't know if they bring back both. At least from what I read.
Brown and Bradshaw, you mean?
Yeah.
They'll bring only one back?
Makes sense.
Yeah, they're kind of married to Trent Richardson at this point. Not that he's going to be the every
well,
down.
I would no, bring this back would, Brown this, ahead of Bradshaw.
Absolutely, but this would help Trent Richardson if that's the move that they make. If they bring back Brown, it hurts Richardson. So if you're a believer in Trent Richardson having a bounce-back season, which I don't know many people that are, but if that's the case, you'd like to see this. You'd like to see Bradshaw be the guy there because, he can't stay healthy, and, B, you have to assume that physically Trent Richardson at this point in his career is better than Ahmad Bradshaw. Whereas Donald Brown showed last year when both guys were healthy, Brown was the better of the two.
Really interesting situation there, too.
I just don't get it. What happened to Trent Richardson last year? There was even a quote, I don't remember if it was from him or from Pagano, that was just like, whenever he gets the ball, there just seems to be no room to run. You know, and he also played on more obvious rushing downs. It just doesn't make any sense. So I can't sit here and be like, I'm taking him as my number two running back and loving it, but I'm taking him as my number three running back maybe and thinking.
Yeah, if you like your team and he's sitting there in the middle of round six, you'll be okay with it.
Yeah.
I agree.
Later, you'll be ecstatic about it. But, if your team is like the draft we were talking about last week, where you went receiver, and then you're sort of scrambling for running backs, you're not going to be happy if he's one of your starters, but if he's one of those guys that you take, in a group. You're just kind of throwing darts at the wall.
It just doesn't make sense. Unless you don't think he was good, because he didn't have a good yards per carry with Cleveland. Unless you just bet, not that good, which I don't believe.
The thing that saved
I feel
him
like there's no way he could be this bad again.
The thing that saved him in Cleveland was the receiving.
Yeah, they do have to get him. He's capable of that. He's obviously
and he
a good
looked
player.
Good. That's when he actually looked at his best in Indianapolis.
When they switched the roles, they made him the third down back. He was much better.
All right. Well. You guys have him in the mid-30s, right?
I feel like he consistently needs a fullback, too. He needs somebody to help him kind of break open the holes. He can't do it from a single back set.
Anquan Boldin staying with the 49ers.
Smart move.
Yeah, it's a great move by both parties because this way Anquan can still compete for a Super Bowl. They're still Super Bowl ready. He provides them a significant piece to their offensive puzzle opposite Crabtree. I do think, though, we're going to talk about my sleepers. I've already written sleepers and breakouts. They're not on the site yet, and I'm in the middle of writing bust. And Anquan's a bust for me because I think, where he was last year comparatively to where Crabtree coming back is going to hurt. But he's still a very good fourth fantasy receiver, somebody you can use depending on the matchup and when he's going right. And certainly we know the end of the season when he picks his game up statistically and starts to play better.
Almost 1,200 total yards and 7 touchdowns on the year. But I think it's worth noting that he finished the year with a touchdown in each of his last two games. Those were with Crabtree on the field.
Yep. That's regular season, right?
That is regular season.
Yeah.
He was great in the playoffs.
Yeah, he was great. Yeah, absolutely he was. And I think he'll continue to see lesser coverage. I think he's going to be better in PPR. He's going to be like a third receiver in PPR. Versus a fourth receiver in standard.
Victor Cruz wants to be used like Randall Cobb.
Yeah, the conversation came up because of Ben McAdoo, now the offensive coordinator for the Giants. And so Cruz, you know, wants to get some touches in the backfield. You know, he says he can play a similar type role to what Cobb did. I don't know if that's possible. I don't know if McAdoo will do that. I don't know if the Giants will go that route. But I still think there's opportunity there for Victor Cruz to have a nice bounce-back season, especially if they can get the other receiver situated, whether it's Ruben Randall, whether they bring in somebody else, whether they draft somebody. There's a good opportunity here for Victor Cruz from a fantasy perspective, because I think he was probably overvalued a little bit the last couple of seasons.
Yeah.
And now he's sort of
touchdowns went way down.
Yeah, it's going to sort of balance itself out where I think he'll have more consistency. Last year he was very inconsistent, had the good games early. He still finished with good numbers, but it just wasn't very good fantasy-wise. His overall numbers were good. But
he was taken in round 4 of a recent draft we did in between Antonio Brown and Wes Welker and Eric Decker.
It's a little too high for me. Yeah. I think round 5 is better.
I agree.
Crabtree or Cruz?
No, Crabtree, easy.
Yeah.
Andre Johnson or Cruz?
Andre.
Percy Harvin or Cruz?
I just actually made that move. I moved Cruz ahead of Harvin. I had Harvin prior to this morning. I had Harvin higher.
Yeah, Cruz just ahead of Harvin.
So both have Cruz now. That's what we're saying?
Yeah,
that's what
Wonderful.
We're saying.
Wonderful. Next news item. The Jets are going after Golden Tate. And our latest mock draft from Rob Rang is the Jets taking Eric Ebron, tight end. So maybe they'll upgrade their offense a little bit.
They have to. I mean, you know, Rex Ryan will make their defense good no matter who they put in there, because that's what his system is. So if they can put some weapons around Geno Smith or Michael Vick or, you know, Josh McCown or whoever they decide to have as their starting quarterback, clearly that guy needs weapons. And, you know, Rex Ryan had a comment. He was at the Yankees game yesterday in Tampa, and he said, you know, the way Geno played at the end of the season is what we hope to see all year. You know, he was much better, much more consistent. You know, we know the way Geno Smith played early in the season. If they can get weapons around him, I know we've had this Decker conversation going, you know, for a few weeks now. They're obviously probably going to go after him. They were expected to go after Jeremy Maclin. That's now off the table because Maclin stayed in Philadelphia. So they just need to put some weapons out there. Stephen Hill's a bust. Santonio Holmes isn't going to stay with the team. You know, so we'll see what they do.
And Dave, Jimmy Graham could miss the offseason workouts because of his transition tag. We have a tweet.
How about his franchise tag?
Franchise.
Oh.
He was franchised. He wasn't. It was.
Yeah.
The transition tag went to.
Who got transition tagged?
Alex Mack of the Browns and Jason Worlds of Pittsburgh. And he signed his tag.
They both did it.
No, no, no. There was one more, wasn't there?
No. That's it.
Hardy signed his franchise tag.
Yeah. Greg Hardy signed his franchise tag. Jimmy Graham's going to fight. That he's not really a tight end. He's a wide receiver. It's okay. It's the offseason, man.
No, that was dumb. Hey, I just did a video on it yesterday.
This isn't the Game of Thrones. We're not going to throw you to wolves or elves or whatever is on that show.
If this were the Game of Thrones, there would be beautiful women all over the place. And that is probably the best part of Game of Thrones. Eldon Johnson says, will a holdout affect Jimmy Graham's value, Dave?
If it gets ugly and he misses training camp, it could. And, I mean, he's a great dominant player, but we've seen time and again great players miss training camp and then flop on the field. So I would be nervous if Jimmy Graham missed more than 10 games of training camp. The offseason program, I'm already writing that off. I don't expect to see him then. But hopefully he'll sign whatever tender he's got or a long-term deal, and he will be in training camp soon after it begins in Louisiana, assuming that another team doesn't come along and donate 2 first-round picks to get him on their team. That idea has been floated, and that there's a couple teams out there that have been speculated to think about it, but I don't see it happening. I just don't see it happening.
Wonderful. Are you guys excited for the mock draft we have in a half hour?
For baseball?
Uh-huh.
Very.
AL only? It's be perfect
I don't
for
know
you
what
guys.
I'm, I don't know what I'm
AL
doing. We are running an AL only team. I don't know what I'm doing, but it'll give me a chance to do a little research on the fly.
This is my first AL-only draft of the year, so I don't know what I'm doing either, Dave. Here are Jamie's sleepers. There are 12, right?
Yes.
Of them.
Yes.
And Robert Griffin III and Ben Roethlisberger are Jamie's 2 sleeper quarterbacks. All right, Jamie, let's see where Griffin went. He went in round 11, and Roethlisberger...
Not drafted.
Not drafted. Even though they went to that hurry-up offense, and he was awesome.
He was awesome the second half of the season. Griffin, I think, you know, I like the addition of Jay Gruden. You look what he did with Andy Dalton the last 2 seasons. Dalton was a top 12 quarterback each of the last 2 years. And we know what RG3 was 2 years ago when he was healthy. So I think the fact that he's going to have a full offseason to work is going to be huge for him. I think that he will get healthy. I think he'll run more again. There's the obvious risk of injury, but that's why he's not a top 12 quarterback. He's 13th for me. I don't know what he is for you, Dave.
16th.
So there's going to be differing views, and I believe Nathan has him in his top 12.
He's got him ahead of Cam Newton.
You know, that's a little too high for me, too rich for my blood, but I think there's opportunity for RG3 to have an Andy Dalton, Phillip Rivers effect, a guy that you take late or don't draft at all, and he's going to be sitting out there, you know, in some 10-team leagues off waivers once the draft is over. I just like the upside. So there's very little risk. I'm sorry, very little risk involved and a lot of reward if he does play 16 games at the level that he's capable of.
Is it the Michael Vick argument from last year where...
Could be same, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
same type of thing where just the value is too good because he certainly isn't going to be one of the first 9 or 10 quarterbacks taken in a draft this year.
No,
too many other great players at other positions.
Right.
And a lot of those other great players are going to get pushed down in the draft, right? So, you know, there's going to be quarterbacks taken early. Maybe yes, maybe no. We'll debate that for the next 5 months. But we agree that once round 6 comes along, that's when the rest of the league will catch up and start picking up quarterbacks. And because of that, that's going to push RG3 into maybe as round 8 or 9 the earliest, and maybe even later than that in some leagues.
Yeah.
You might be able to find them later on. So if you've got him as your second quarterback, no question there's sleeper appeal. I'm more excited about Roethlisberger than I am RG3.
Sure.
But I see exactly where you're coming from, and I don't have a problem with it at all.
And with Roethlisberger, he was actually the 10th best fantasy quarterback last season. In 2012, he missed 3 games. If you give him his projections over a full season, he would have been the number 9 guy. So you look at what happened to him last year. You mentioned, Adam, the no huddle, what they went to in the last 8 games of the season. That's also right about the time when Le'Veon Bell was 100%. And so you factor in a guy that can help him out of the backfield. Mm. Heath Miller, a full season of health. They do have the receiver switch that's expected to happen with Emmanuel Sanders leaving as a free agent, Marcus Wheaton stepping into that number 2 role, which is really the biggest uncertainty. Mm-hmm. But Roethlisberger, when he's been healthy, he's been pretty good over the last 4 or 5 seasons. And so I think this is another guy that, you know, there's a lot of number 1 quarterbacks that you can sort, not maybe not a lot, but there's a few that have question marks. Nick Foles, because you just haven't seen it for more than, you know, 7-8 games last season. Kaepernick, because of the way that he plays, you know, depending on how you factor in Rivers playing still at that level. Cutler, and can he stay healthy? So, you know, once you get past the 5 or 6 lock guys, you know, and I know you have Foles a top 5 guy, I have Kaepernick top 5 guy. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about the guys you know that are going to play 16 games of good production, if not great production. These are 2 quarterbacks I think you pair with one of those guys. Take with you know, mid to late round pick.
Well, the thing with Roethlisberger is the ceiling limited. You know, I'll give you his fantasy points week 11 on, or how about just go back to week 9 on, 34, then 12, then 39, then 20, 23, 29, 11, 23, and 9. 3 bad games in there, but a lot of really good stuff. But the thing is, you know, you talked about him being the number 10 quarterback, being on pace to be the number 9 quarterback. Is Ben Roethlisberger ever going to be like the number 5 quarterback?
No, but that's why he's not a top 12 guy, I think, on anybody's draft board. You know, you're just looking at
somebody.
Yeah,
I know, but do you waste a pick on a guy who's never going to give you the chance to, like, completely win your league as a backup quarterback? You know what I'm talking
about?
Well,
again, it comes down to
I don't think you illustrated that at all. I think you just made the point for why Roethlisberger's a great sleeper, Adam, because he averaged in that stretch from week 9 till the end of the season, and that includes the 3 bad games that you mentioned, still averaged 22.2 fantasy points per game. And that's what we think he's going to be. Yeah, I think he can average close to 20 points.
I think what they realized is that, you know, they experimented with the Wildcat early in the season. They had him, you know, running this sort of ball control offense. And, you know, I know sitting watching games with Pete Prisco, he just was, you know, the 2 offense coordinators he screamed about the most, ironically, are the 2 guys who I like for these respective quarterbacks,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jay Gruden and Todd Haley. You know, they took the reins off Roethlisberger and they let him play. You know, maybe it was just a product of design that, okay, we have nothing to lose because our season's lost and all these bad things happen. But I think they realized something, that he can be not Peyton Manning and the things that Peyton Manning does at the line of scrimmage, but he can still do his own thing and call enough quality plays and get enough quality production from his offense that he can sort of be that offensive coordinator de facto at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
So they're going to get Pouncey back healthy. That's going to be huge for him to get more protection up front. And I do think that their defense is in a transition phase, you know, where they're losing guys and starting to get younger. And that leads to this team scoring on them more and them not being as successful, which is putting the ball in Roethlisberger's hands a little bit more.
That's what happened last year.
Right.
By the way, what is this Cam Newton stuff. Why are you guys so low on Cam Newton? Eighth for Jamie, ninth for Dave, 12th for
You know Nathan. What? I've got a story coming out where I review some of the players that were tough for me to predict over the course of last season. And Cam was one of them. And until I see the Panthers make a strong effort to improve their receiving core, I'm keeping Newton down.
He's had the same garbage receiving core for two years, and he's been number five.
He also ran like crazy, and I think that's going to change. I think his offensive line is headed in the wrong direction.
Jordan
Gross just retired. I don't think so. I think he could get beat up a little bit more.
No, fair point. But I think, you know, the fact that he'll be out moving around now because he won't have the pocket around him to protect him as much.
I don't know. You're basically saying his offensive line is going to be worse and that's going to be better for fantasy?
Yeah, because they'll force him to move a little bit more.
You want to take his week nine till the end of the season.
It's going to be worse for the team in general.
It will be worse for the team in general. I think Carolina takes a step back in 2014.
Well, that's probably
in the same range
that
we've got with Roethlisberger from week 9 to week 17. Cam averaged 19.2 fantasy points per game toward the end of last season.
It's tough to just.
Want them to go and get two fresh receivers. They've whiffed every time they've tried to get somebody to go opposite Steve Smith. Now it's clear that Steve Smith isn't their best receiver. They don't have a best receiver. They all stink.
Steve Smith might not.
Greg
be
Olsen
on the
might
team.
Be their best receiver. He might not even be on the team.
Okay.
They need to replenish and restock that receiving core.
It's kind of weird because he has produced. I was a little surprised by that. All right then, Marcus Lattimore. Latavius, a lot of running backs here, Jamie. How would you like to do this?
You can just list all four of them if you want.
Okay. Marcus Lattimore.
Say their names.
Latavius Murray, Kyrie Robinson, and Kristen Michael. Marcus Lattimore, Latavius Murray, Kyrie Robinson, and Kristen Michael.
A lot of ifs with these four guys. But that's why we're talking sleepers as opposed to breakouts. So I think when you look at the one who might be the safest, honestly, is Murray. Because right now he's the starter. Because the two guys that were in front of him last season, McFadden and Jennings, are free agents. The popular sentiment out of Oakland is that they're going to re-sign Jennings and let McFadden walk. They have, I guess, had preliminary discussions with McFadden's representatives, but I don't know if that's just out of courtesy.
It probably went like this. We're going to offer you the bare minimum with no incentives, and if he gets hurt, we're going to cut him. Want to sign?
Probably something.
No. No, thanks.
All right, see you later.
So Murray, you know, is one of those guys that we liked little bit last year.
Yeah.
And he got hurt, and it was unfortunate. And so if he could come back at 100% and they don't bring in somebody of significance, and I don't mean Jennings because I don't think Jennings is someone of significance. I think Jennings is a placeholder until Murray shows he can maybe take that job. But they need to address the position clearly when they only have one guy on their roster, along with Marcel Reese, but he's really more of a fullback. So I like the outlook for Murray. I like the outlook for Lattimore, too. He says that both of his knees are healthy. He feels like he'll be ready to go for off-season workouts. Frank Gore in the last three seasons has 1,026 touches, which isn't overworked, but it's a lot of work because of the playoffs that they had. So I think you're looking at Lattimore has a couple things in front of him that are a little disconcerting for him to be a extremely relevant fantasy guy. He's got Frank Gore still there, even though he's going to be 31. And he's got Kendall Hunter, who they still like. You know, so those two situations make Lattimore a little bit more of a risk. And then Kyrie Robinson did a great job in the playoffs last year. It looks like Pierre Thomas probably gone. They haven't made that move yet, but it saves them about $3 million by cutting Pierre Thomas. But he looked good in the playoffs, and this is a team that likes to find these, you know, sort of guys off the scrap heap, and that's kind of where Kyrie Robinson is coming from. So
why isn't Darren Sproles a sleeper?
Well, somebody on this podcast once said that. It didn't really pan out very much. But they need to get younger. I mean, you know, Pierre Thomas is going to be 30. Darren Sproles is getting up there. Ingram and Robinson can share the role, which also makes Ingram a little bit of a sleeper, but I'm tired of going that route. I don't know how you feel about Ingram at this point, Dave. But I think Robinson is the one I would kind of wait for. And the more we get into the offseason, you're going to hear his name talked up a little bit more and more, especially if he starts to show well in the offseason and in the preseason games. And I don't know how much more we need to get into Kristen Michael. It's all dependent on Marshawn Lynch, but I like him more than Robert Turbin. I think Michael will get a significant opportunity, especially after what Pete Carroll said at the Combine, that he considers him to be their breakout player next year.
Mark Ingram went in the 9th round, and Kyrie Robinson went in the 11th round in the latest mock we did. And Pierre Thomas went in the 11th round, for what that's worth.
Yeah. The only problem I've got with this list is that I didn't get to use any of these names on my sleeper list, which is what I would have liked to have had. Well, I mean, all four of them. because I agree with all four of them. I think they're all great. Lattimore is the one that I think has absolutely the most upside, the most appeal. The fact that he didn't play at all last year, he's with the right team, great offensive line, great run-first type of mentality. And Frank Gore is still going to be the guy so long as he's healthy. And, you know, he's managed to stay healthy. He hasn't been an injury problem for fantasy owners. But that could change in the blink of an eye. And if Lattimore's healthy, that might make the coaching staff say, well, let's put him out there and see what he can do. And that'll take work away from Gore. That could make for a sticky situation between these guys, and that you're not going to be sure what you can count on from Gore or Lattimore from week to week. But I like him too, and I loved his versatility in college. He was a playmaker. He's a special running back. I think Christian Michael is a special running back. I'm a little scared that he could impact Marshawn Lynch the same way that Lattimore could impact Frank Gore, and that's just another strike against Marshawn Lynch. Who did you move? You moved Marshawn down in your rankings already.
Yeah, after
your analysis.
Yeah.
I think we're both in that camp on Marshawn.
Yeah. All right,
and Kyrie Robinson, I think, is going to be the next great undrafted running back that becomes something for the Saints. He'll be their third one since Sean Payton came into New Orleans. Pierre Thomas was first, then Chris Ivory, and now I think Robinson will get his turn. And he's a bully when he's got the ball. I like him.
Before we get to Jamie's wide receivers and tight ends, I want to remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, where you can easily create your own professional website or online portfolio. So I'm in the process now of using Squarespace to make my website. Should be up soon. And it is very easy, and it's very cheap. Starts at just $8 a month, includes a free domain name if you sign up for a year. Now, Nando and I didn't have any problem using it. They got plenty of new designs, new features, better technical support, and great designs, really, for you to start with, great style options. But if you do have any problems, Squarespace is big on customer support. They have an amazing support team that works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I know you want your website to look good on mobile, so every design includes a unique mobile experience to match the overall style of your website. Your content's going to look great on every device, every time. Start a free trial with no credit card required right now. Start building your website today. And when you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure to use the offer code FUN to get 10% off and to show your support for the CBSSports.com Fantasy Football Today podcast. We want to thank Squarespace for supporting our show. Squarespace, everything you need to create an exceptional website. And again, it's squarespace.com/CBSSports. Use the offer code FUN. Jamie, you guys.
Just real quick on those running backs for people in Dynasty Leagues. Gore's a free agent after 2014, no matter what happens with him this year. And all three running backs that the Saints still have under contract, Sproles, Thomas, and Ingram, all free agents after 2014. Mm. So both those two guys, in terms of Lattimore and Kyrie Robinson, could really be great for 2015.
La, la, la. Nice. Justin Hunter, Marcus Wheaton, Jarrett Boykin, and Kenny Stills are Jamie's sleeper wide receivers. You've clearly gone pretty deep with these sleepers.
Well, I mean, you know, you're sleepers. Trying to find people that are somewhat late-round picks, and, you know, clearly a lot's going to change in the next few weeks because of signings and such, the draft as well.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, the only guy that just, you know, obviously I'm not you guys. I'm just kind of like the average fantasy player. Mm-hmm. The only guy out of these four that would have been on my radar, well, we've talked about Wheaton, but before we talked about him a couple weeks ago or whatever, I think Stills of those four is probably the only one in a 12-team league with, like, whatever, what, 15 rounds? Mm-hmm. That I would have queued up. Hunter, Wheaton, Boykin, and Stills. So it's good to get these guys on the brain.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Hunter and Wheaton, they get a huge opportunity, assuming things go as they're pointing right now. Hunter has a chance to be the number two guy in Tennessee, depending on how you view Nate Washington and Kendall Wright, because Wright will shift to the slot if he is the quote-unquote starter when they do go three wide receivers. I like Ken Wisenhunt there, because you look at his history with receivers and where he's been and what he's done. Not necessarily you can give him credit for Larry Fitzgerald and Anquan Boldin when he was in Arizona, but clearly he helped those guys flourish. And then we saw what he did with Keenan Allen last year in San Diego as the offensive coordinator. So he gets a guy that's really raw. We did see that Hunter showed some flashes last season. He had two games with double-digit fantasy points. I believe it was two. Week 12 at Oakland, week 14 at Denver. Washington, as of now, the thought is he's going to stay in Tennessee, even though he's owed almost $5 million next season. If he's gone, I think Hunter's value really escalates. But right now, I think he's just one of those guys you take with a late-round flyer. Wheaton steps into the Emmanuel Sanders role. Not that Sanders was fantastic last year, but he was serviceable. So there's an opportunity for him as well. we didn't see anything from him last season. He was completely miserable. Jarrett Boykin.
He messed up his fingers.
Yeah, two separate broken fingers, and didn't really get a chance because of what they had. And they were forcing Jericho Cotchery down our throats.
You know, because
he was the ultimate touchdown maker.
Except when he wasn't.
Right. Jarrett Boykin. I'm really excited about Jarrett Boykin if the Packers do what they typically do, which is they let free agent guys walk that are going to command money, and James Jones is probably going to get a contract somewhere, maybe Carolina, maybe the Jets. Some team's going to pony up to give him a contract, and they like Boykin a lot enough that they would slot him in to be their third receiver. So we saw last year where he didn't really get an opportunity with Aaron Rodgers. He was very good. He had at least 8 fantasy points in 7 of the 11 games that he got a chance to start. So, you know, you look at what he was capable of doing when he had the targets, he was good. And James Jones, you know, we can debate how good James Jones was over the last 3 seasons. 24 touchdowns over 3 seasons. That has to be replaced. Whether it's Cobb being healthy and Nelson being healthy for the first time, I think, in their respective breakout seasons each of the last 2 years. But Jarrett Boykin's going to get an opportunity. And then you mentioned Kenny Stills. That's a team that needs speed. They have to get faster. Lance Moore is old and slow. Marcus Colston is young and slow. And Jimmy Graham is not very fast either. So Kenny Stills is their fastest receiver that I see in a prominent role. So I like taking a flyer on him. Also.
Yeah, so I don't know if you remember this. We did like bold predictions in week 17 or something like that on the video show.
Okay.
And I don't know. I think I was just coming up off the on the spot. I believe I said Kenny Stills would be the number one wide receiver for the Saints next year in fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I believe that. But at the time, it sounded plausible.
It was bold.
But I just don't know that he's anything more than just a guy who's going to catch a
Robert Meacham
60-yard right. touchdown, you know,
or Devery Henderson, right?
And that kind of guy is not one that you ever feel good starting because he could give you 0 or he could give you 12 or whatever. But I mean, I think he played really well and showed a skill and just that vertical threat.
But did he show enough versatility?
I think
he didn't. But
that,
but that doesn't mean he doesn't have it. Just means that he wasn't asked to do it.
Right.
Maybe.
The thing I think you got to look at with these 4 guys is none of them are being drafted to be starters on your fantasy team. They're all just, okay, I'm at the end of my draft. Same with these running backs. You know, do I want a 5th running back or do I want a 5th receiver? Which of these guys has the chance to bust out to become Keenan Allen?
Yeah.
You know, who has that opportunity from the receiver spot? And so if you believe in Kenny Stills, because Dave believes in Drew Brees, clearly he's the number one quarterback. I think we all love Drew Brees, clearly. But, you know, you're of that belief that I want a piece of that Saints offense. I want the number 2 guy for the Titans. I want the number 2 guy for Ben Roethlisberger. I want the number 3 guy for Aaron Rodgers. That's kind of, I think, the choices you make when you look at these type of players. And so they're probably the last guy you pick from a skill position spot, and they're probably the first guy you cut. And then somebody 3 weeks later when they have that stretch, like Kenny Stills had or Justin Hunter had or Boykin when he gets an opportunity, they're going to be we're going to be sitting here Tuesday afternoon and going, who's the number 1 waiver pick this week?
Jarrett Boykin.
Right.
Dave, tell me if this stat means anything to you. Marcus Wheaton had 42 targets and only 18 catches.
Yeah, that stinks.
Did I say Marcus Wheaton?
Yeah.
Justin Hunter. I apologize. I can look up Wheaton.
Hunter and Stills were kind of used the same way, just Stills had a lot more
run opportunities. Run fast. Go far.
Here's what you're going to do. When I say hike, you just run as far as you can and wait for the ball to come.
No. The new phrase when I say Omaha.
when I stop clapping, that's when you run. I think Boykin's the number 1 guy on this list. I think he's probably the safest of these sleepers, as well as the guy that's got the best chance to – he's going to step into a role where he might get 8 touchdowns over the year, 700-800 yards. That's great for a late-round pick.
He's done the most so far of this group.
Of course.
Right.
How many games last year did Kenny Stills play fewer than 50% of the snaps?
Oh, almost all of them, I think.
None of them. He had 50% plus snaps every single game, according to Pro Football Focus. That blew me away when I read that. I think I need to see more route versatility from him, but yeah, the fact that he's got that speed and the fact that he was able to assimilate into the offense as much as he did last year makes him a very close second behind Jarrett Boykin on this list. So I think Stills is an excellent choice. And he was a great receiver in college, too. So
yeah.
He's got the pedigree. He has a lot of experience from his rookie year. And his quarterback ain't bad either.
Mm-hmm.
And the offense isn't bad. And just in the event that Colston can't get going and Moore can't get going, it's just going to mean more opportunity for him.
Okay.
And then Hunter Wheaton was a guy I loved a lot at the Senior Bowl 2 years ago. And I think that with Big Ben there and the opportunity stepping up for him, I think Wheaton's going to have a good chance to put up some good numbers. And Hunter probably rounds out my list. I think I have him ranked higher than Wheaton right now. But just because Hunter wasn't a Wisenhunt guy, he was a Munchak guy. And we'll see how quickly and how well he can work into that offense. But Jamie did say that Wisenhunt does have a good track record of working with young receivers and getting something out of them. So Hunter, you know, he might be able to fit into that slipper.
And two tight ends for Jamie are sleepers, Kyle Rudolph and Joseph Fourier.
Well, Rudolph, you know, was on my bus list last year, but he gets, you know, the tight end guru in North Turner. Mm. And so that should help him break out of just that being that touchdown type guy. So I think Rudolph has a lot of opportunity. We've talked about the tight end position a lot. Once you get past, you know, those 7, 8, 9 guys, it's sort of, okay, who's the next best guy? And I think Rudolph has a chance to be 10 to 12, 10 to 15, you know, just depending on your like, your preference. We'll see what they do. Quarterback is obviously an issue for them. But this is a team that needs weapons. I mean, you know, Patterson looks like an emerging star. Greg Jennings is serviceable. And Rudolph has the chance to be the third guy there. And then Fourier, look, you know, you're looking at a situation where the offense coordinator now is a guy who worked with Jimmy Graham very closely in New Orleans. And Fourier himself said, you know, he's trying to model himself after Jimmy Graham, former basketball player, a guy that can, you know, do a little bit more than what we saw a season ago. The touchdowns were there for him. He was basically Kyle Rudolph a year ago, you know, to a certain extent. Kyle Rudolph
light. Joseph Fourier was Kyle Rudolph.
Yeah, it was Kyle Rudolph light. But Joe Lombardi, I think the new offense coordinator for the Lions, with Pettigrew gone, he has a chance to start. We know they need receiving help. And so this is a guy that you're not going to draft as a top 12 guy, but if you're inclined to take two tight ends, this is somebody that I would take.
And just in case you didn't know, Joe Fourier is 6'7", and I want to say he goes about 240 or 250, might even be a little bit more than that. And just a total mismatch nightmare for defenses to worry about. And he got a lot of work at the goal line last year for Detroit. I would expect him to get even more. Third down work, goal line work, red zone work, all that stuff.
If the numbers can increase outside the 20, we know Calvin, like you said, Calvin Johnson, the touchdown stuff, Calvin Johnson's going to get double teamed on every goal line position that they have.
Right, and Nate Burleson's been cut from Detroit. So where are those targets going to go? Are they going to go and make a splash at receiver and bring in somebody else? A lot of people have the Lions drafting a wide receiver with their first-round pick. I don't know if I necessarily see that happening. But the more they kind of stave off adding another wide receiver, the more opportunity that will be there for the tight end, whoever that may be. And if Pettigrew's not there, and let's all hope that Pettigrew isn't there because he's terrible, Fourier can step in and really have a huge role. And he's a lot of fun, too. He likes to do crazy touchdown dances, yeah, and that kind of stuff will get the home crowd rocking a little bit. Stafford could like throwing that and getting it going a little bit. And the fact that the playbook in Detroit is going to be modeled after what's been going on in New Orleans just bodes very well for the tight end there.
What's the deal with the extra point issue? What happened with that?
They're talking about moving it back for the preseason just to see how it works. If the extra point is snapped from the 25-yard line, which makes it a 42-yard kick.
Ah.
Yeah, it's stupid.
So stupid.
Yep.
It's not like that's an exciting play, first of all. And that's just not an extra point. That's tough. I mean, pretty tough. I think professional kicker, NFL kickers make 42-yard field goals probably, what do you think, like 85% of the time?
Sure,
they drill it. But still, that's so stupid.
It would change things just a little bit.
I have no problem with the extra point.
It's just
leave things be. Right. Don't expand the playoffs.
Oh, I like that.
No, Dave, that is the NBA and the NHL. That's one of the great things about football. Don't expand the amount of games.
You're giving me two more playoff games every year.
That means you've got lousy teams like the Washington Wizards making the playoffs.
The Washington Wizards play in the NBA.
So this year it would have been who? Who would have got in?
The Cowboys, probably.
No. It would have been the Cardinals in the NFC.
Yeah. Oh, just one team per conference?
Yeah, one team.
Cardinals in the NFC, and it would have been in the AFC, Miami.
The Jets finished ahead of the Dolphins.
So then the Jets.
Are you kidding me? If I had to watch the Jets in the playoffs?
I'm not sure if that's right.
It would have been the Ravens or the Jets, I think.
Right? It would have been the Steelers
in the
AFC, and it would have been the Cardinals in the NFC. And those were two teams that would have been a lot of fun to watch in the playoffs.
I don't need
And the first round game would have been Steelers at Patriots and Cardinals at Panthers.
So then how would the buys work with these?
There would only be one buy for the one seed.
I don't like it. I just think that one of the things that makes football great is that it's only 16 games. Yeah. Every game counts, so don't expand the games. And it's harder to make the playoffs.
I agree.
You don't want half the league in the playoffs. This isn't half the league.
It's not. It's pretty close to half the league.
It's seven, right, instead of eight per conference, which would be half the league.
Nearly half the league.
Well, that's Adam's rant.
Yeah.
I do apologize to everyone for this podcast being like our shortest one ever. We have to go do a draft for the website, and I know I asked you all for tweets and emails, so we'll get to those next week. I'm sorry about that. But thank you to Dave and Jamie. It's good to be back.
Thank you, Adam. It's nice to be back in our little temple here.
I hate you both.
Aaron Cerrone has a new podcast, Live Like an Athlete. You can check that out in iTunes once a week. Fantasy Baseball Podcast is in full swing. We're killing that, so please enjoy it. And we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Oh, sorry.
Bye.
Yeah, thank you.